Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike. And by the time you are listening to this or watching this, my family and I are attending the visitation service for our youngest son's girlfriend, Taylor Griffin, who was killed last week in a very, very terrible automobile accident. She was only 16. Caleb, our son, is only 17. And let me give you a little of the background. There's been so much happen to our family in the last couple of months. It's affected our whole ministry. It's affected me. It's affected our work. Many of you who are on our mailing list to receive DVDs every month, because of the multitude of things that have happened, we are behind on getting those mail outs done right now. It's June 6th, and the girls are working on getting, or actually July 6th, I'm sorry. The girls are working on getting the June packets out. They're having to print the discs, and sometimes the printers go bad. We keep having problems out of disc printers, and there's not a lot of disc printers in the world to choose from. We have a Primera, and we have an Epson, and they're both very expensive, and sometimes they just don't cooperate very well. And so some of you have written us or called us and made comments about that, and all I can say is I am very sorry. Concerning Taylor, we were at camp, Wilderness Point Bible Camp in Arkansas last week, and part of what made it bad was I was coming down with something before we even left for camp last week. I went to urgent care, and they were asking me, do I want to be treated for the flu? And I'm going, now wait a minute, I'm not the doctor here, I don't know what I have. So I was a little disappointed with that, because I had to end up going back to urgent care in Harrison, Arkansas on Tuesday last week, and they were treating me for bronchitis. So Tuesday morning when I woke up, I had a fever. I was shaking, shivering, and I was basically stuck inside of our camper Tuesday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. I missed all the services. I usually help out playing the piano, especially for all the kids that want to sing. I usually rehearse with them. I missed all of that. And then we got on Tuesday evening, my son Caleb notified me. He wanted to get in touch with me. Now, down there we have no AT&T cell signal, and this is what our phones are, but I have a tablet that has Verizon cell and data, and I got it specifically because that's the only thing that can be reached at that particular place. It's a very, very, it's way deep in the mountains near Green Forest, Arkansas. And so we were able to FaceTime. He told me that Taylor was in a very bad car accident. And I'll just tell you this story. She was not too far from her house, within probably 5 minutes of her house. And it was raining, and she lost control going around a curve. And a she went into the other lane and slammed into a truck, pickup truck. The driver of the pickup truck is fine, but it trapped her in the car. It broke both of her femurs, and when the femur bones carry a lot of blood and bone marrow, and because of that, she more than likely they think it was a blood clot. Fire and rescue had to come out. They had to cut her out of the vehicle. Got her to an ambulance, took her to one of the local hospitals in our area, and they then said that her case, for some reason, needed more care from a different hospital, so they sent her to what we used to call St. John's Mercy Hospital. Now it's just called Mercy Hospital, where she died I believe it would have been, I'm trying to get my times right, it would have been Wednesday night around 11 p.m. And we didn't hear any news until the next morning when Taylor's mother contacted us. I was able to get a text message from her, but we had to use Facebook Messenger video chat to call, where she informed my wife and I that Taylor had died the night before. My wife, of course, immediately broke into tears. I was very disheartened. It didn't really hit me, the emotional part of it, until later on. And then Thursday, that day we're headed home, and I just broke down in tears. This young lady was a very sweet young lady. She had developed a very good relationship with Lisa and I. And one of the things that I had noticed was, you know, I taught my children something that I learned as a teenager here at Bethel, and Lisa and I learned it together. You when you're young and you are dating, or whatever, courting or whatever, never date somebody that you would not marry. And in today's world, most teenagers are not interested in marriage. They are only interested in romance, and you understand what I'm saying by that. And they go from person to person. And because of the music they listen to, because of the social networks that they are a part of, most teenagers in this country today will have multiple relationships before they're ever out of high school. And one of the things that really struck Lisa and I was that it seemed that our son and Taylor were interested in only maintaining that relationship. And I know they were young, but Caleb's always been very open with me. He always talks to me, asks questions. I'm always very honest, open with him. We have a great relationship. And he would ask me questions about, you know, how to help her, how to be a good role model to her, a good boyfriend. he asked me at one point, did he think that he and Taylor were a good couple? And I said, yeah, I could see a difference in him since they started seeing each other. And it was always at our house or his parents' house under supervision. And I could see maturity kicking in to the boy that we raised. And so her death has hit us very, very deeply. It was as if she was already a member of our family. And so, I've been very, very down lately. And my wife has too. And our son, of course. Again, by the time you're listening to this, we will already have been at the visitation. The family has invited us to be part of the family visitation, which is earlier than the public visitation. Tomorrow will be the funeral. I got a chance to talk to the pastor that of the church that Taylor's family attended, or at least Taylor attended, that as far as I know, a very nice man, and he said that Taylor had asked Jesus into her heart when she was about 10, that he baptized her. I know that Taylor spent some time at our church because of Caleb, and knew, you know, right from wrong, and knew the scriptures, knew the gospel. And I would not dare judge her, and it's not my place or anybody else's place, because of what her original pastor told me. That's what I'm going on. And so the funeral service will be tomorrow. But I just wanted to reach out to everybody and let you know just sort of what's been going on. In the last few months, my wife, who works here in our office, she helps with all the packets. She just recently had, you know, what I hope is her last cancer reconstruction surgery. And that put her out. And of course, Michael going to Kenya and starting the projects there that we have been working on, trying to put in a permanent place to feed people in Turkana. And within 2 days of the date that he's supposed to return, he comes down with COVID for the second time. And so he's delayed 2 weeks, and that's hard on him. Going to Kenya is hard on him. It's like me, because, you know, in the past, going to Kenya, he's always been the first to go to arrange everything for us when we go. And he has been robbed and stabbed, almost killed one time. The last time he was there, he was in an automobile accident, a very bad one. And the company that owned the rental car, it was clearly the dump truck driver's fault, but the company that owned the rental was bribed by the dump truck company owner to say that it was Michael's fault. They even had police out looking for him, and he literally had to sneak out of the country. And so it took him over a year, even with COVID, to talk himself back into going out there again. He goes out there again, And within 2 days of being ready to come back home, he catches COVID. He's got to stay another 2 weeks. That was hard on him emotionally. When he comes back, we're glad. We're thinking, okay, now things can settle down. Then we find out that our granddaughter from our oldest son, Matthew, has something wrong. We're not sure if it's cerebral palsy or something else yet. They still haven't diagnosed her. But clearly she has some issues with her. That has taken a toll on our family emotionally, because she is very, she smiles all the time. And you just can't help but fall in love with her. And so I've been very emotional over that. Then after that, Michael finds out that his grandmother, my pick for godliest woman ever, passed away in Kenya. And he called one night. I went out to the house. Michael was just wailing. And I took him up to tell his mother. And, of course, they traveled to Kenya to lay his grandmother to rest. We know her soul is in heaven. We know that with all of our heart. I believe it. But he's got some, I'll just say, some evil people out there working against him. And it was almost like, literally, and there's things I can't say, but there were people who were just willing to just throw a body out in a hole in the ground. And there had to be a fight over having a proper burial for his own grandmother. And that took its toll on him and us as well. And then now this latest tragedy. And so it's just been one thing after another. We know, you know, we know and understand what the devil does to those who want to live for the Lord. He'll punish you. He will persecute you. All who live righteously will be persecuted. Let me look that verse up. By the way, I'm gonna read. I'm going to read from a psalm that to me is, the numbers of it are pretty cool, but today it has some good help for me. Not persuaded. I'm not looking for the word persuaded. Persecute. Let me put an asterisk after that. I'm trying to find the verse. All that will live. I'm paraphrasing the verse, but all who live for the Lord will be persecuted. Is basically what I know the Bible teaches and what it says. If you live for God, I'm not finding the verse, so I'm probably got the wording wrong, but you understand what I'm saying. If you're going to live for God, you can expect the devil to beat furiously on you as God allows him to. But understand that God is allowing it. Now, for whatever reason, you may not understand it today. I don't understand it today. And especially when someone dies, and it doesn't matter if they're, you know, if they're 16 years old, 5 years old, or 40 years old, people ask why. And I never had the answer to that. None of us do. But we will know, we will understand by and by. We will know one of these days why God did the things that He did in the course of our life. And we will praise Him for it. And that's the part of faith and trust that born-again Christians have. our emotions are part of our flesh, and yes, we can't, you can't control your emotions the way some people tell you you must in order to make God happy. There are some days I have no more control over my emotions than a dog has control over their instincts. You know, the Bible does say be angry. Being angry is not a sin, but be angry and sin not. I may not be able to control my emotions, but I do have a choice on how I react to those emotions. But as far as controlling the emotions themselves, that's not possible. Don't let anybody tell you that is. Don't let anybody tell you that you must always think positive and have positive emotions and positive thoughts all the time, or God can't bless you. That is a lie. When the disciples, and I just preached this in the series on prayer, when the disciples were in the boat and the storm came, they were obviously afraid. Now, fear begins in the mind, and because the brain has nerves that descend from the brain to the heart, lungs, the stomach, and the bowels, it's the vagus nerve. Because those nerves from our brain are connected to our body, when we get afraid, our heart pumps, adrenaline, and you know, it's connected to our adrenaline, whatever pumps out adrenaline. Our lungs, we start breathing heavy. We get sometimes sick to our stomach, our bowels. Sometimes people lose their bowels when they get afraid. And you don't control that. You cannot control that. And we don't have any choice really over when someone dies or how long someone lives. That's the one thing in the ministry that I've never been able to tell people is this is how long you're going to live and this is when you're going to die. We don't get that choice. We don't have that. So, Psalm 77, to me, it's in a beautiful location, number-wise. And I'll tell you why. Psalm 77, if you use the Pure Bible Search software, and I'll put that on the screen for you. Psalm 77, if you look here, 555th chapter of the Bible. Now, the word Christ is found exactly 555 times in this Bible. That in itself is amazing to me. Because we know the beast number is 666. But Christ is mentioned exactly 555 times. Not one more, not one less than that. All the forms of the word righteous, righteous, righteousness, all the forms of that word, 555 times exactly. And those two ideas are connected because Christ is our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. So my salvation is not based upon the things that I do good or the things that I do right or the positive thoughts that I have. My salvation is based upon the fact that God in His mercy has covered me with the righteousness of God, but that comes by faith. So the position of Psalm 77 to me is interesting. The number 77, of course, if you look in Luke chapter 3, there is a lineage of Christ given. There are exactly 77 people in that lineage from God, or it goes backwards, from Christ backwards to Adam to God. And it says, Adam, the son of God, literally. 77 names in there. So, to me, that has merit. When you look at the exact number of words in this, You just highlight them, hit Control D, and you look. There are exactly 330 words in this chapter. Exactly 330 words. Now, that kind of stuff, whether you like that or not, today I don't really care. Things like that help me to know that this book was written by God, sent by God, ordered by God, maintained by God, translated by God, and it is the Word of God. And as I read this, I need this faith because I need these words. Let's read it. Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. The God of heaven heard. How does God hear the prayers of everybody who's praying simultaneously? I will never understand that until eternity, but it blows my mind. But the beauty of it is that I have been crying tears and crying unto God for help for my son, my wife, who's been deeply affected by everything that's happened, not just with our son's girlfriend, but with our granddaughter, with our son-in-law, Michael, with her own, dealing with her own issues with cancer and the reconstruction after that. It's very painful very painful to her, physically to her, and emotionally. And to know that she can cry to God, I can cry to God, and He's there to hear us. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. And one thing, I was talking to somebody this morning, one thing that I remembered from being electrocuted was, once I realized I was going to die, the only thing that I thought to do and the only thing that I could do was pray. I was in trouble. And I prayed, not with my mouth, because I had no breath, my lungs were not working, I couldn't move, I couldn't talk, nothing. But in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, think about that. That's what Selah means. It's a pause, musical pause. It lets you contemplate the verse that you've just heard. And then it says, Thou holdest mine eyes waking, I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've been in that situation before. And this is what I like about it. When I'm in trouble, I consider the days of old, the years of ancient times. And I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Communing with your own heart. Let me get to this. I've considered the days of old. I know what God has done for me in the past. The miracles that He has performed for me in the past. And the God that I served then is the same God that I'm serving now. So it gives me hope to know that the God that I served then, who helped me out of all my troubles all through the years of my life, is still the same God who will help me out of this trouble. And when you commune with your own heart, there's two ways of looking at that. Number one, self-examination. But number two, talking to God out of your heart. Not every prayer is vocal. And again, don't let anybody tell you that. Not every prayer has to be vocal. Not every prayer is vocal. There are things that you probably should not pray around other people, especially vocally. They don't need to hear you confess sins that they don't know about, that they don't need to know about. It's none of their business. Or when people go to sleep praying, I used to feel guilty, and I don't anymore. Because God understands, number one, He gave us sleep for our mind to rest. And I would rather go to sleep at night thinking upon the Lord and talking to Him out of my heart than any other way. So I think it's right. I think it's proper. I think it benefits us. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? And the answer to these is no. He won't cast you aside. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not done performing favors for you. Favors are what people do for you that you didn't do anything for them. You didn't pay them for it. Hey, can you do me a favor? Sure, what do you need? And they just do it for you. And God gives us favors every day of our life. Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forever? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? And these are all questions that have run through my mind, have run through your mind. Guarantee you. You have thought these things. Is God, I've sinned so much, I'm afraid God's not going to forgive me anymore. But His word said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, He did not assign a limitation to that. Now, I will say, God does have a remedy for the sinning Christian. It's called a rod of chastening. And if you think you can withstand the rod, go for it. Go sin. But I guarantee you, when you come back, God's going to be standing there with a rod in His hand, and He is going to chastise you. This is Hebrews 12. This is Job 5. God chastises those whom He loves to drive the sin impulse out of us. We lived a life where our first reaction was to sin. The Bible then, when we're saved, the Bible instructs us in righteousness. We learn right from wrong. And we learn that sometimes at the hand of God's rod, who then, in various ways, chastens us. And we say, yeah, I know what this is. This is God's chastening. In fact, I'll be dead honest with you. There have been times when I said, God, You need to chasten me for that. Don't let me get away with that. And He did. He sure did. Because there is not a sin in this world to me that is worth hellfire. Not one. I don't want it in my life. I don't want to be any part of it anymore. But as long as this body exists, there will be a disobedience to God's law in my flesh, like Paul said in Romans 7. So in verse 10, He said, I said, this is my infirmity. Now remember, when we pray, and I taught on this a few weeks ago, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, right? Look at what He's asking. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercy? Six things here. And those are infirmities in our prayers. They're doubts. But remember, the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray. The Holy Spirit that is in us and abides with us then begins to intercede for us with words which we cannot even utter, addressing God personally on our behalf. Christ the mediator, which is the Holy Spirit. These three are one. So, the Holy Spirit, Christ the mediator, helps our infirmities when we pray. And then we remember the days of old. We remember the pit that God took us out of last time, last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We remember those same things that we have been through, and God helps us out of these things again, like He used to. He's the same God. And then verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And that's, again, that's part of, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. And this is why I keep telling you, read your Bible. But instead, you keep reading off the internet. You're suckling from the vine of Sodom of the internet, hoping to find hope in Facebook memes or old 70s rock songs you used to listen to or whatever. Read your Bible. Because He said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. Thy wonders of old. And when you find out how God dealt with Adam and Eve, how He dealt with Moses, Abraham, David, Samson, Gideon, Solomon, Paul, Peter, all of these famous people in the Bible that sometimes we ascribed perfection to them, like they deserved to be blessed because they never sinned. But the Bible tells you all their sins. The Bible says of Elijah, he was a man of like passions as we are. That means he was as messed up as you and I are. And yet he prayed and God heard his prayer and God blessed his prayer and answered his prayer. So when you read the Bible, you are remembering, you're going back into the days of old, and you're seeing what God did for His people. Think about people in the Bible at times when they were being blessed. You have Sarah, who in Genesis 18 hears the Lord tell her husband Abraham she's going to have a child, a son. She laughs in the tent. And when the Lord calls her out and says, why did you laugh? She lied about it. I wasn't laughing. And he said, you were, but I'm telling you, this time next year, you're going to have a son. Did he bless her with a son because she was acting righteous? No. Think of Samson. Samson is in a city with a harlot woman. That was his weakness. I mean, the guy could kill hundreds of Philistines one shot. But he had a weakness, and his weakness was women. And he's in this city in bed with a harlot. And the Philistines, closed the iron gate to the city to trap him in there, and they were going to kill him. And the Bible says that Samson took the iron gate, iron bars. These, to me, it's a picture of Christ and the gates of hell. And he puts them on his shoulders. That's Christ taking the cross, and he takes them up on a hill. That's Calvary. And throws the gates down. tells Philistines, you can't hurt me. So here's God blessing Samson with a victory over his enemies. But what was he doing? He was in sin. And I'm not saying, go sin all you want to, God will bless you. That's how you get God's blessing. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, we are already sinners. And the greatest blessing that God ever did for us was Christ died for us while we were sinners. Didn't wait till we were perfect. So, again, I'm going to have to shorten this. But just remember, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. And today I just needed to talk of the doings of God. I need God to do for me and my family and for Taylor's family and all of her friends. And I mean, the people in this church loved her. She just sort of had a very innocent, happy-go-lucky feature to herself. And we loved that. And so we're going to leave as a family here in a little bit and go be with her family and try to bring comfort both to them and to ourselves. And in doing so, I just maybe wanted to try to bring comfort to you as well. If I go through something, I know what it's for. I know that more than likely it's because you're going to go through something, or somebody down the road is going to go through something. And by then I will have a way of telling you, hey, God's got this. I've been through this. God's got it. And He'll take good care of you. He will not forsake you. So, pray for us. You know the devil hates us. You know why. And pray for me. My weaknesses, my infirmities, the things that just get in the way between me and what I want to do for the Lord. And pray for our church, all of our ministries. And we appreciate you. And when I say you're the reason why we do what we do, it's not just a cliche. It's not just something I made up to make it sound good on the end of our broadcast. You are the reason why we do what we do. And we thank God for you. And pray for us today. So, this is Pastor Mike. You know what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you to think Bible. No matter what happens, no matter what you're going through.